Blog Talk Radio.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabonds.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Amanda. You with us there in the UK?
I'm here. How you doing, sweetheart?
Doing great. It's been a while. How you doing, Cornell? Happy New Year to you.
Hey, hey, Andy and Amanda. How you doing? Welcome back,
guys.
2021.
We're doing just fine, and I've been in touch with Amanda via modern-day technology communications over the past couple of weeks, and been in touch with what's happening there and here, and we want to wish all of our listeners around the world all the best in 2021, a whole new year ahead of us, a whole new season for the Andy and Amanda program. We're pretty excited about it. I have a lot of things coming up on our show schedule for this year, 2021. Unfortunately, we're all still pretty much affected with what we were affected with when we did our Christmas show in December for the end of last year. Nothing, not a whole lot's changed. Just the Trump attempt to overturn the United States government, the election processes, or democratic election, and so forth, is riled up a little bit because we have a major event on Wednesday when Congress is supposed to ratify the Electoral College votes, and there's going to be all sorts of blocks and hesitations. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Amanda, how you been there, babes? How's it going?
I'm doing well, sweetheart. It's been a bit of a rocky week for me, but it's good to be back at work with you guys. I missed you boys.
We missed you too, Amanda.
Oh, thank you so much. But yeah, things are crazy over here. They really are. Just everything's blown up with this whole COVID situation. It's like, when's it going to end, guys? When's it going to end?
Yeah, it's pretty bad there, I'm hearing, right? It's pretty bad there.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, how about you, boys? Did you have a great New Year?
I celebrated New Year's myself on a Zoom call with a lot of my musician folk festival friends from the East Coast and also a guy from Hawaii, James McCarthy, who's an amazingly talented singer-songwriter, and there's got to be some gigs there. And we all had a Zoom call on East Coast New Year's, and I drank a lot of champagne during that call. And after that call, I fell asleep on the couch and woke up at 3 in the morning. So I fell asleep.
That was a good night.
I was going to say, that sounds like a really good time.
Yes, yes.
And yeah. You made me jealous. You made me jealous. That's a good night.
I did get to talk to Amanda right after she was a year ahead of us. She traveled to 2021 before we got to, and advised me so far from where she stood at the time that the year's looking all right. 2021. We hope for that.
It's quite impressive actually being a year ahead of you for that short amount of time. I got to admit.
Good. Yeah. So what's going on in the news there, Amanda? Catch us up to speed. It's been a while. We've got to talk about it. I know we have a lot of news clips to get to and some great music. It is Double Shot Monday here. But let's get a brief from you as to what's happening there in the UK.
Okay, so, you know, this is the biggest and the most important thing here in the moment is the virus situation. So for anybody who's not aware of what's happening here, last night for you boys, it's now, no, sorry, last night for me, tonight for you boys, England has gone into a tier 5 red alert lockdown. So they boosted that up as we are trying to control the spread of the new variant virus, which has been explained by our prime minister to spread about 50 to 70% faster than the first strain. So everyone has been asked to stay at home from today. All schools and colleges will close to most students, and they will be switching to remote viewing education. And this also means that end of summer exams will not be taking place either, so there's, you know, I guess less pressure on the students right now, but still, that's crazy. So university students should not return to campuses and will be taught online. And all these measures are to be until about the middle of February, they're saying. Boris did say he believes that we are in the last phase of the struggle, but we shall see what occurs, right? Because, let's face it, no one's been right so far. So since the Oxford vaccine has now been approved here in the UK, people within the top four priority groups will receive the first vaccine dose by mid-February, and those who are clinically extremely vulnerable shall be receiving a letter in the post and are advised to shield. But actually, something happened last September. One of Scotland's MPs has today been arrested because she was breaking the COVID rules. She said that she had experienced mild symptoms and took a test, but then decided to travel to Westminster in London as she was feeling much better. And then she travelled from there home again on the train after receiving a positive test result. So she's been very naughty and she's been arrested today. So they're charging her, and we shall see what occurs with that.
Wow.
That's bad, right? A member of parliament actually doing that. That's not good.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
And they're meant to be setting good impressions for everybody else and devising and guiding, and that's not good. That's not good.
No. You know what? Here, a pharmacist in Michigan, I think it was, I could be wrong about that, so quote me, I believe it was Michigan. Could be wrong, though. You know, maybe a pharmacist confiscated some 50-some odd injections through the mouth, through vaccines, and some of the others, I don't know, it was a couple hundred, several hundred vaccines, and 57 injections were given of the vaccine that was kept in inappropriate temperature settings, so those vaccines may have not been any good after they were administered, so they had to deal with that. But a pharmacist actually went ahead and said, no, I'm not believing this stuff, and threw them out, threw the vaccines out, and he's been arrested here too. So there are some crazies. There are some crazies in the world. We know that. We talked about it. We talked about it here, and they're out there. Crazies might be the wrong word. They're just folks that don't have a grip on the real world, you know, from sources and don't have an issue with believing truth and facts and kind of live in that fantasy fiction world. And to each their own. That's their racket. I don't share that, but whether crazy or not, I don't think that's probably the extreme.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. So what's going on over there, guys?
Well, here, you know, as you might know, Trump called the Secretary of State in Georgia and told him to find 12,000 votes somehow so he could overturn the election there. And an hour phone call, and it was recorded. The Secretary of State there said, you know, I didn't have a plan of releasing that tape unless Trump somehow defamed him, you know, criticized him, accused him. And he did, so the recording was made public. What we're going to do is I have kind of an interesting take on that recording, and we brought in a good friend of our program, a guy by the name of Darth Vader, who's from a galaxy far, far away.
Hey Andy, how did you get a chance to get in touch with Darth Vader, man?
I'll tell you tomorrow's show.
That's impressive.
That's impressive, man. You got Hollywood stars.
It was a new Christmas gift I got. It allowed me to have these communications, paradoxes for me.
Wow, you must let us know if you get through to Captain Kirk, because that would really be interesting.
Wow. I can't wait to hear him.
Here's Trump's call, also taken from the Death Star, but we'll just listen to it, and then we'll talk about it. But we have it here for you on the Andy and Amanda Show. And Happy New Year, everybody. Enjoy this.
Happy New Year.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, having a correct gift, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
I want to know what happened to the plans they sent you.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that?
See to it that he finds his way in here.
No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having.
Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
You should want to have an accurate election.
As we will discuss the location of your hidden rebel base.
And you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even it happened. Oh, you know, I mean, I'm notifying you that you're letting it happen. So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
Don't underestimate the force.
Because we won the state. So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this. And it's going to be very costly in many ways. And I think you have to say that you're going to re-examine it, and you can re-examine it, but re-examine it with people that want to find answers, not people that don't want to find answers. For instance, I'm hearing Ryan, and he's probably, I'm sure, a great lawyer and everything, but he's making statements about those ballots that he doesn't know.
The force is with him.
But he's making them with such, he did make them with surety. But now I think he's less sure, because the answer is they all went to Biden. And that alone wins us the election by a lot.
He will join us or die, Master.
Mr. President, you have people that submit information, and we have our people that submit information, and then it comes before the court, and the court then has to make a determination. We have to stand by our numbers. We believe our numbers are right.
This will be a day long remembered.
Well, under law, you're not allowed to give faulty election results, okay? You're not allowed to do that, and that's what you've done. This is a faulty election result. And honestly, this should go very fast. You should meet tomorrow, because you have a big election coming up, and because of what you've done to the president, you know, the people of Georgia know that this was a scam. And because of what you've done to the president, a lot of people aren't going out to vote. And a lot of Republicans are going to vote negative because they hate what you did to the president. Okay? They hate it. And they're going to vote. And you would be respected, really respected, if this thing could be straightened out before the election. You have a big election coming up on Tuesday.
Take a cup of kindness yet for all men.
And here's a hand, my trusty friend, that gives a hand to thine. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne.
For Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for
as we
he's funny. He's like a comedian.
He really is. He really is. He's trying as hard as he might. I gotta give him credit for that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah, it's really something. But, you know, a lot. Wednesday's one. We're going to have one hell of a show on Wednesday because that's when the Congress, both the sections of the House, the Senate, and Congress meet to ratify, if you will, the Electoral College decision to put Joe Biden in the White House on January 20th. Now, here's how that works, folks. Vice President Pence will do a roll call one state at a time, and then a congressman can stand up and protest the result of that state. And they can be joined by a senator. And every time there's a protest of that state, they have a two-hour window in which to convene in small groups and discuss and vote then in that small group, the Congress and the Senate, and then come back with a decision as to ratify that electoral vote from that state or not. Now, if you multiply that by Arizona, New Mexico, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, that's going to be a long day Wednesday because those only the swing states are the only ones that they're trying to block. The ones that
yes, right.
why would that be? Why can't figure? I can't figure why that would be. go figure. Only the states that that put Biden in office. But anyway, excluding California. Anyway, so that's how that process works. And what they're really looking at is this. And we have a federal code of elections, and officially, whatever that might be, officially, election day here is a 24-hour window on the first Tuesday of November, and that's like a federal thing. Power states want to interpret that, and you know, situations that might prevail at the time might make that change, such as a crisis such as the coronavirus, right? I mean, who would ever known that we're facing this pandemic that would affect voter turnout? People would not, and who would squat and stand in line and get sick and perhaps die or infect others and have them die, which we've one of a billion times here. So what they're saying is that Pennsylvania had a 24-hour day, yesterday's election day, and they all the mail-in ballots, which were numerous, were supposed to be in by that same day. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and the Congress said, hey, wait, we're going to extend that. We're going to take it upon ourselves because of this pandemic and because of the millions and millions of mail-in ballots that obviously are not going to all make it on time. We're going to extend that from Tuesday to Friday. And what the protests are, well, that you can't do that. That's against the federal law that you have to have election day. And that's not true. But that's what they're saying. You know, that Pennsylvania's powerless to say, hey, we're going to extend this in our state. And the same was done in other states. Now, they'll go up and say, well, you know, what precincts or what regions in what states really were affected by that were regions in a state that were heavily Democrat. And that's why the Republicans are kind of saying, hey, wait a minute. You didn't see Republican counties doing that. Why is that? Well, we can also go ahead and talk about, let me see, where were the mail sorting machines kind of taken away from? What areas of the country, what regions, you know, what urban areas were they trying to you know, reduce voter turnout? And what we also know, and we talked about this again on the show for a long time preceding the election, is that polls numbers were, shall we say, less than impressive, to be polite. And all the polls that we talked about for so long all predicted, every single major poll predicted that Trump was not going to fare out well in this election. This is no surprise. This is no surprise. And the fact that we're even having this discussion is, to me, I hear myself talk, I'm like, wait a minute, are we in the United States? Like, I'm hearing my own words and thinking to myself, what the hell?
Yeah.
What? How did this happen? You know? We'll talk more about it. But I think what we should do is perhaps get into some music. What do you think?
Sounds good.
And Just a couple of favorites, a couple of popular ones. I'm not even going to give an introduction to the composers and performers of these songs because well, you'll know why. You'll know why. Here we go.
The next song we like to do is a song I have been itching to do at the White House. And I hope the president will forgive me if I sing this one.
1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Are we back?
Hey, what's up, Amanda?
What's up, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Let me tell you something. It's been a great, awesome, you know, New Year's Eve for me. Had a couple guests over the house, and we just chilled out, watched a lot of movies, and had a few drinks and everything, and we was like,
that's
wow.
Amazing. That's amazing. I chilled with my babe and ordered Chinese food and saw the new year in that way. No alcohol because I was trying to be careful and steer clear of that. But it was very good, very blessed. I can't complain.
What kind of Chinese food did you order?
Well, I had. Oh, hey
you back, Andy? Where did you go? Where did you go?
Well, you know, if guys got to go, guys got to go. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, cool. Even in the middle of the show, that's why I love you, Andy. You don't care. You just go right in the middle of the show.
Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on a minute. Yeah. There we go. Okay. Now, what are we saying?
We wanted to know if you want to wash your hands.
No.
Yes. That was going to be my next thing.
Welcome to the Andy and Amanda show.
those songs needed no introduction, obviously. We heard an old recording of, well, I guess not that old, it's all relative, of Paul McCartney performing at the White House when Obama was in office playing the song Michelle, obviously. Followed by a remix, a 2010 remix of the John Lennon performance of the song Imagine, and that's why I didn't think they needed an introduction, so we just went ahead with the tunes. But yeah,
beautiful
good songs. Yeah,
they are so beautiful.
Hey, nice tunes. So Cornell, what's your New Year's revolution?
Well, my New Year's basically.
What's it called? Revolution. What is it called?
Resolution.
Resolution.
Well, stay healthy, peaceful, and for the Andy and Amanda show to get a distribution deal through a major radio station.
You know, I think that has a shot at actually happening. I truly do. I really do.
I believe it too. Yeah.
We got our eyes. You know, we talked to some regional stations, some local carriers, which, I mean, you know, moving across the country and going a small station and that kind of thing, which is not doesn't interest me. But we have our eyes, folks, just so you know, on satellite distribution of our program, which would give us nationwide, you know, distribution and I guess worldwide distribution, really.
Yeah.
Via a major satellite player. And we're working on that, so stay tuned for that. It might take a little time, but that's kind of where we want to take the show, and we believe that's where we think the show should live.
Elon Musk, hit us up.
Yes, hit us up.
And we do have, when it comes right down to it, the best show on Block Talk Radio. And, you know, we really do. And, you know, we're the only talk show in the world, a live talk show, which we are live right now, although, you know, many of you will hear the podcast later. Right now we're live at 515-605-9888. We are the only live talk show that joins the UK and the US together for a presentation of news, information, fun, music, and all that good stuff that we do here. And we're going to continue that through 2021. So we're looking forward to some real positive things and a lot of fun music. And let's talk about what's happening starting Friday, which we mentioned briefly on our last show of the year, our Christmas show, is that Stephen DeJosephs, who's an accomplished singer-songwriter and connected to that world of singer-songwriters, is putting together a section of our program where he's going to be selecting unsigned artists that are looking for some exposure, some real good talent, some good singer-songwriters that he's going to be presenting and talking about those artists and their websites and where you can hear more of their music in a non-COVID environment where they might be performing. And we're going to be playing that segment of our show under the unsigned artists or Steve's unsigned picks or something. I don't know what it's going to be called. We'll wait to hear from him, I guess, but we're going to hear that on Friday show, starting on this Friday. We'll hear Steve's.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it? Yeah.
It really is.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
I've tried to get it included. I tried to get him to include me in his picks, but he said, nah, I'm going to make it.
You know what, Andy? He turned me and Amanda down too, man. I was like, ho.
What's going on?
You know. You know, I asked him. I said, Steve, what's up with that? You know, and
don't ask me. Ask China that question.
We want to fly over China, guys, and see what's the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know. On the news side, getting news just briefly here, we talked about it earlier, this Wednesday catastrophe is about to happen. This hiccup, major hiccup in a process that's going to happen, undoubtedly, you know, Biden will be the president come January 20th. We're going to do here now is we're going to hear a few excerpts, a few clips from the Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor Hawley on this ridiculous challenge. And because Pennsylvania is one of the key states that they're focusing in, and by the way, even though I'm in the Los Angeles studios of coast to coast here, Pennsylvania is my home state, my hometown, Philadelphia. So we're going to hear now the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Pennsylvania on the hypocrisy of what Trump is attempting to do.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, it's he's walking into a buzzsaw. You know, January 6th, it's going to be real hard out there for a simp. Down in Washington, D.C. Everyone knows how this movie is going to end. And I'm taking a different tack than my other Democratic colleagues. I hope every Republican votes for it. I do, because it's all going down in a hot, flaming pile of garbage. It's a mathematical certitude. Because everybody knows, from the president on down. I mean, you heard him on that phone call. He knows he lost, and that's why he's looking for votes. Everyone knows what really happened. And they just have to pretend that they're outraged or that they were ripped off when they know that it doesn't. No matter what they say, you literally have the smokiest of smoky guns, him on tape saying we need to come up with 12,000 votes, and people are still willing to make up stories or talk about the latest, you know, conspiracy theory on Parler or whatever. It's like, that's not going to change. But at the core, everyone knows that Donald Trump.
Everybody does know. Everybody knows the people on the go. Do 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 do. We have a caller here, Hawaii. I think Chet's back with us. This is Chet. Let's see. Who could this be from Hawaii?
Yeah.
Who could this be from Hawaii?
Yeah.
Hey, Chet.
Hello.
Direct from Honolulu, Hawaii. It's Chet.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, my man.
Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Do you have a good Christmas?
I just got back home from. I just got back home from putting one of my guitars into the guitar hospital.
Oh no!
Oh, what
happened? It was very sad.
Oh.
Her pickup quit. Her pickup quit. It won't make noise into the PA system. So, under warranty, though.
Why do you think she's protesting?
Well, we tried different batteries, so it isn't it isn't food.
You rule out diet issues then.
the light's on the preamp, so probably some functional disability. Maybe like my cat would. Maybe it has a UTI. I have a cat with a UTI flaring up again that I have to take to the vet tomorrow.
I remember my dog having that periodically. A pain in the well, I was going to say pain in the neck, but it's not there.
Not there, no.
Hey, folks, speaking of pain in the neck, not there, being somewhere else, I did hear that the AVN, the Adult Video Music Awards, have been canceled in Vegas. And that's, I guess, why I haven't heard from them regarding our live broadcast from there. I was ready to go to Vegas and do it to it with our press credentials. However, there will be a digital presentation on January 23rd. So we're going to have a special show on January 23rd.
Let's go.
I can't wait for that one.
Yes.
It's a digital show.
For to be 21 or over, is that?
Well, you would think so, but you know, whoever listening is whoever's at the party is at the party. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
But I almost forgot about that, and I'm glad I was able to get that in. So we were counting on doing a live broadcast from Vegas on January 23rd, but. That weekend, but we're not. They canceled it. They did. And I was surprised that they even were planning on doing it. But I got word, and they're doing a special digital version of that show, and we'll be doing some things leading up to it, which you don't want to miss, folks. You don't want to miss it.
You made me nervous when you say things.
you know. Yeah, but we have. I'm trying to get some special guests on the line, some interviews, and it should be some fun conversation. But we'll approach as we get closer in. We'll talk more about that. What I want to do now is play. Let's see, a couple more things in the news to talk about here, and. Dr. Fauci regarding the – we haven't played any clips from Fauci in a long time. We've talked about him. We've quoted him, but we haven't played any audio clips from him. So I figured this first show of the new year, we'd let Dr. Fauci come on the show and talk about the running away from the numbers, which a lot of people are saying are bogus. Here's Dr. Fauci.
But, you know, that's what happens when you're in a situation where – you have surges related to so many factors, inconsistent adhering to the public health measures, the winter months coming in right now with the cold, allowing people or essentially forcing people to do most of their things indoors as opposed to outdoors. And then the traveling associated with the holiday season is all of the ingredients that unfortunately make for a situation that is really terrible. I mean, to have 300,000 cases in a given day and between 2,000 and 3,000 deaths per day is just terrible. I mean, it is. I mean, there's no running away from the numbers, Martha. It's something that we absolutely got to grasp and get our arms around and turn that inflection down by very intensive adherence to the public health measures uniformly throughout the country with no exceptions.
Yes.
Yes.
Spooky situation.
Yeah.
Spooky situation.
It really is.
Over 350,000 deaths. You know, just onward we go. Onward we go. There's, you know, interesting too. A guy who is, I don't think he's come, Matthews. I forget if he's been on the show yet or not. I don't think he has, but anyway, he directs in LA County. A guy I know quite well. Logistics for everything COVID in all of Los Angeles County, you know, beyond the city. Los Angeles is gigantic, as we know. And that's include testing, paying for the testing, setting up the testing sites, logistics, getting, you know, hiring the employees that work the testing, and also getting the vaccines in and getting the vaccines distributed and getting them in people's arms. And what he was telling me, he's right there on the front line and manages this in L.A., they have vaccines here. You know, nationally they've distributed, but they're, you know, they're very short of what their goal was. And obviously that was, you know, we like to be optimistic, but there's no way the goal of I think 100 million or something was going to be happen. But they've distributed 11.8 million. And to some million, that's, you know, every day, every hour, it increases significantly. So anyway, so what would be correct is that it's a very small number compared to how many have been distributed, have found their way into people's arms. And what he told me in L.A. is the issue is that they just don't have all the money. Logistics just aren't set up for distribution. They have the vaccines here, and there's just nothing from the feds that are allowing the budgets to facilitate and hire and distribute these things and getting these things in trucks and setting up the vaccination centers. State might have their own issues and, you know, successes or fractions. But that's the issue here. And then I also was going to tell them, because I've gotten tested periodically, and my daughter, who goes out more than I do, get tested almost every week, it seems.
Yeah.
And I was telling him, I was joking around with him saying, you know, I'm trying to tell my daughter, if you have any symptoms, you don't really, you know, because you live the same life I pretty much do, you don't really need to get tested every week.
Yeah.
And he said, well, because it was $110 per test that LA
right.
paid for, you know, and there were, you know, tens of thousands of people getting tested every day. Yeah. And even though when you sign up to get a test, you make an appointment, you go through a drive-through center or a walk-in center, you make an appointment. And when you make that appointment online, you have to also put in your insurance information if you have it. Because I think what they do is they make an attempt to go to your insurance company, and it is completely covered by that to ease that burden. But if you don't have insurance, they pick it up anyway. It was $110 per test, and it is now greatly reduced. But they still don't have the budget to distribute the vaccines. It's getting ironed out. You know, it is getting ironed out, and the vaccine
yeah.
is distributed.
Because it's freshly new, so.
Yeah. At the current pace, you know, we're talking almost 2 years of living like this, and I'm starting to look at Australia and New Zealand, folks. How about we do the Eddie and Amanda show from New Zealand?
You know, it's been a very tempting thought, right, to just jump ship and find a new location.
You know, you headline news in Australia, 7 cases of COVID. You know, 7 cases. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm like, people are out doing
the
nightclubs thing and sailing their boats and going to work. And they have little ups and downs. And when they have their ups, they close down immediately. They fix it and back in order they are, you know. And
yeah,
I know the populations are quite different, but per capita, we ain't fair. Well, in this country, that's for darn sure. And what are we going to do?
Major part of the secret is they're an island, big island,
yeah,
with
yeah,
a healthcare
yeah.
system.
And they exactly, yeah. You're still, yeah, they do.
Force the vote.
Which is,
Hashtag force the vote for it, folks.
Yes, there you go. Say that again, Chet. Say that again.
Hashtag force the vote. We have a golden opportunity to get a vote for Medicare for All this year.
We do.
Wow.
There's come on. There's no excuse in not having that. You have a pretty adequate system there, Amanda. Correct. We talked about this earlier.
Yeah, we do. It's just it's under so much strain, as you can imagine, because it's a free healthcare system. Although. Nothing's ever truly free, let's face it. But, yeah, I mean, the way they've...
My understanding is it's been chipped away terribly ever since Thatcher.
Yeah, it has, very much so. She ruined a lot
for
this country. She did a lot of good things, but she really destroyed a lot for this country as well. But, you know, there's... People complain about our NHS every single day. And then something like this happens and, you know, you got to ask yourself, aren't you grateful that it's there doing its job? And like I said, it's under major strain and there was panic in Parliament about this because of the way this new strain of the coronavirus is spreading so quickly that our hospitals are just absolutely crammed now, and they're setting up what they call Nightingale. I think they call it Nightingale hospitals. They're like the army set them up to have all these extra beds and facilities for extra patients. So yeah, we shall see how that goes, but I think everyone's hoping and praying that this slows down enough to give people enough chance to receive the medical care that they truly need.
Yep, that's it. It's quite extreme from where you are to where we are here. And again, talking about that, we have, you know, this is the Andy and Amanda show, and Amanda is in the UK. Are the only show in the world that joins the UK and the USA for a discussion of what is affecting us and what is on our minds, and having some fun doing it and taking no prisoners in the process. You know what I'm saying? We get down nitty gritty and do it. Speaking of nitty gritty,
we're
also
an internet
really cool
umbilical cord.
You bet, man. You got it. And speaking of nitty gritty, we also I'm not going to play that. Oh my God, I will not. You'll kill me if I play that. I just saw, I wouldn't even tell you. I guess I got to. Some of our listeners might not know. I just ran by, caught in a trap.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. No, please. Please, no. Please.
I almost hit it by accident because it's right next to the tune I am going to hit. How that happened. Anyway, we're going to hear a friend of mine, somebody I met. As a matter of fact, Chet and I met at NAMM. I think we've talked about that at 2019. Was it 19 or 20? I think it was 2019. In the Taylor, I don't know if you caught this woman, Chet, a woman by the name of Sarah Nimitz. She's incredible. She lives here in L.A. I've gotten to know her over the couple of years since NAMM. And she is really – I mean, she's on Facebook. You know, she must have a ton of live concert things that she puts up, but she's doing songs on Facebook, like, every day. And she's really talented. And she works with a guy, Snuffy Waldman. Snuffy's a singer-songwriter composer. He did the music to the TV show West Wing, for those of you who remember that show. Anyway, so she plays with Snuffy a lot. She also has a full band behind her quite often. She tours Europe quite a bit during a non-COVID environment. But what we're going to do now is we're going to hear Sarah Nimitz playing the Roy Orbison song Crying, which was done live. And then we're going to hear this is Double Shot Monday. We're going to hear the Traveling Wilburys doing It's All Right. Do, 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 do. No, we don't have to hear them do it. Let's hear me do it. It's All Right. That's what you should do. We should do it for them. We'll cut back the muscle. We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. All right, folks, here we go. Here's Sarah Nimitz, and it's N-I-M-T-I-Z.
N-I-E-M-I-E-T-Z.
Yes. There you go, and she's amazing. And check out her website and her music, and send her all the money you can. Here we go. Here's Sarah Nimitz, folks, doing Roy Orbison's "Crying," an amazing rendition of the song. Oh, I just want to bring this to your attention too. Towards the end of the song, the volume cuts out. That is not. There's nothing wrong with your radio. There's nothing wrong with your television set. Do not touch the dial. The original recording, it looks like they have had to she starts belting it out at the end. And I think they added too much compression, and the volume goes down towards the end of the tune. So there's nothing wrong with your computer. So I just want to bring that up to your attention beforehand. Here we go. Sarah Nimitz, Roy Orbison's Crying.
Really? All right, let's take one. Smile for a while, but I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello. You wished me well, you couldn't tell. I'm crying over you.
Well, it's all right. Remember to live.
Here we go.
Great track. It is all right. I mean, that's hard for people to accept right now. I get it. But it's nice to inspire others, isn't it? To say, you know, I know we're going through some rough times, but try and do our best to hold on tight.
Yes.
This might help. You can wander over to Sarah Nimitz's website and purchase the International's Kazoo. With her name on it. So entertain yourself. And if you're lucky enough to live in the LA area, you can book her and her band for a house concert for only $6,000.
Get out.
Is that all?
Is that all?
Yeah. Plus, you got to supply the back line.
There's the catch.
Oh.
Yeah.
I will say this. She plays with some outstanding musicians. But
how bad?
You know, that's an expensive dinner party.
You can get the duo for $1,500.
Oh, thank you. There we go.
Yeah.
Now we're getting there.
We can get the kazoo for $5.
You can also get me for 2.5 cents.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you tell us for sooner, Andy?
So
you can get me for $500 plus airfare.
Special today.
Today only.
Your house. I tell you a couple of jokes, and
let's
I leave.
Just pay attention.
But actually, I come to your house and I play reruns of the Andy and Amanda show.
Oh, amazing. Even better.
Actually, what we could do, Andy, is you and I could go and do the same thing that MST3K used to do. You can play the Andy and Amanda show and then punk it.
Fuck it?
Well, whatever the word is. I don't remember. What's the word for what the MST3K? What is it? The robots.
I must have
and
misunderstood
Mike,
that. I think. Yeah, well, hell yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I have most of those shows, too. MP3s. Fours.
You know, we could do that, but you know, then it gets...
Nice and tight after you're inside of it.
But we'd have to ask China.
Yes. Hey, guys, did y'all hear about Nancy Pelosi home reported getting vandalized?
What'd you say her last name was? Nancy
what?
Pelosi.
Nancy
Pelosi.
Pelosi and Mitch. McConnell, too.
Yeah,
Pelosi. Yeah, and Ronald McDonald. Not Ronald McDonald. What's his name?
McConnell.
What's the guy's name?
Mitchie.
Mitchie
McConnell.
Mitch McConnell. Mitch
McConnell,
yeah.
Might have been the same guy, too.
I got the wrong name wrong.
Ronald McDonald.
Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. Both are home.
Kylie Pelosi is what we used to call her in San Francisco.
You want to get the news right, you just listen to our show. Nancy, what's her name there? And Mitch McConnell. Somebody spray painted on their... What's it? Not McDonald. O'Connell? Mitch, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank
McConnell.
Here.
McConnell.
I'm about to get too old. What is
McConnell.
It?
McConnell.
McConnell. McConnell, that's right. Not McDonald. Why do I keep thinking McDonald? Like
maybe it's
McDonald.
Two N's.
Something like that.
You,
okay,
about
you, guys, you know what we're talking about. Both their homes were vandalized over the weekend, and people spray painted. We
might have been the same guy.
Same guy? I wanted $5,000. I didn't get to spray paint on anybody's house.
I have a friend here who does that for a living.
Who? What?
Paints houses.
Spray paints? Really?
Probably uses spray once in a while. Sprayer.
Yeah, he paints them for real though.
Yeah, he paints them for real.
Cornell.
Yeah.
Cornell, did
you know,
mention about a pig's head? Is that right?
Yes.
Oh my God, I heard about that.
So why was that used? Why did they give any explanation?
It's an old mafia thing. It's an old mafia thing when they're going to get somebody to lift a pig's head in their bed. Sometimes a horse's head. In The Godfather, wasn't it a horse's head in The Godfather?
Godfather was the horse's head.
Yes, yes. They was running that. They was running The Godfather on New Year's Day. That's a great movie, too. Yep. A horse head. Yep.
People leave different things. I heard they're leaving all sorts of stuff. Some people
we call them kryptonite.
Kryptonite. Excellent. Some people live. Thank you, kryptonite.
Their wife's head.
Yes, you know.
Their wife's head.
All sorts
sometimes
of
husband will pay for that.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, what was I just going to say? I forget what I was going to say. What was I talking about before?
Something
remember?
About Pelosi. Oh, paint.
He spray painted her house. Wait, let me see. What was I talking about? Let me think here. They spray painted her house. Oh, did we hear that? Thank you. Yes, now it's coming back. We heard that that Pat Sajak died, right?
Really?
Am I right about that? Right? The host of Jeopardy?
He died like a few
weeks
ago,
right? You mean Alex Trebek.
I'm sorry, Alex. Yes. I'm doing great, aren't I? I'm sorry.
We're doing great on the Andy and Amanda
it's
show.
Okay, we're checking up. We're fact checking you.
Thank you. You better today. You better. But not Pat Sajak. You know, long may he live.
Alex
the other guy.
Trebek.
Yeah, he passed
he's
away.
The new guy to me.
Is that right?
Yeah, I used to watch Jeopardy with the guy before him back in the early mid-60s, early 60s.
Wow. Who was that? Do you remember?
I oh, God. I'd have to look it up here. I'm admitting that I'm looking it up.
It's
but,
okay.
He was another pretty well-known game show guy. And Merv Griffin, of course, was the creator, producer. And made all the money and bought half of L.A.
Yeah, well,
wish, and I guess men sometimes don't know what to say.
It will be.
Yes.
It will be what it,
it will
be.
Be.
Art Fleming.
I know that name.
From 1964 until 75.
Again
from 78 to 79. And then Trebek showed up in 84.
Okay.
Hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Don
Pardo was the announcer.
Oh, my gosh. Don Pardo, who went to Saturday Night Live, right? Same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be darned.
Until 78.
Who was it? I missed that. What was that?
John Harlan. Took over from Don Pardo. Don might have gone off to get the big money.
Yeah. Well, who's going
that
to?
Was back when
do
they...
we know what? We know we're headed towards another semester of colleges across the country, and many are continuing online curriculums. Some are bringing their kids back, and it's you see what's going. I think through the end of January, I think February. I know some schools in New York resume classes, and the UC schools here in California resume classes, and most of which is occurring online. You gotta feel bad for these students, especially the freshmen who just graduated high school last year, who didn't really have any of the, that last year in high school is like, man, a lot of these people you're not going to see until you're 10th or 20th or 30th or whatever reunion, and everybody gets their yearbook signed and it's the end of, you've been with these people since kindergarten and this is your last year. And they missed out on all that. I was never much for proms. I didn't go to the proms anyway. I wasn't part of that group. I don't think they let me, but anyway, I got banned from most things, but, I can't believe they let me on the air on the show, but still,
Oh,
no respect, you know what I'm saying?
I know, right?
No
I know. You tell him, Andy.
No, tell him. You know, I told you, my old man, that's why he's got me a toaster and a hairdryer, you know?
The only difference for me was the size of the cliques that were ignoring me anyway between high school and college.
Oh, there we...
went from, you know, 2,100 students to 18,000 and still ignored. Except when I played music.
No respect.
No respect.
Yeah, but these kids who are finishing high school now or then, and this year too, you know, they had none of those festivities and all the excitement and the parties and the you know, graduation and the private graduation and the school graduation parties and, you know, starting college, the whole college, you know, college is more than taking classes. It's a, you know, it's all experience of being away from home in many cases and, you know, maybe perhaps part of fraternities and sororities. Speaking of which, this just reminded me of something. You know, when I went to do the college tour, my oldest daughter was ready to go to college. I did all these visits. And one thing kept coming up during the presentations by the universities, and I think the first one I was...
Andy!
I think Andy went back to the bathroom.
Yeah, he suddenly had to bail.
He's reminiscing, and he's back in the past, sort of like with that DeLorean.
Yes. Talking about drinking that milk, man. That milk started to get to my ice cream milk.
I was really getting into his story, too. I mean, I want
to
hear what happened.
I think he just does it to keep us on our toes, you know.
Yes.
I just went to the closest college that would have me, which was the University of Georgia.
No.
Wow.
It was.
Don't ask me. Ask China that question.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh. So he's with the president. He must be with the president. Hey, Chad. Yeah, my wife went to Georgia University.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And, Georgia University or University of Georgia?
Georgia University. And the University of Georgia backwards.
University of Georgia. U of G.
Georgia.
The Bulldogs.
Ain't them about Georgia. That was
Georgia.
Ray Charles' song, right?
Pardon?
Ray Charles had a song called Georgia, right?
Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find. Just an old sweet sound keeps Georgia on my mind.
Ray Charles, legend.
Ray Charles.
I love that dude.
They've already announced they're going to do it.
Have they indeed?
My buddy and I do that one. I think Andy's microphone may have died, but he still seems to be alive via
sound clip. Playing with his buttons. He likes playing.
Yeah, I think he kind of tests us out, man. I think the Martians took Andy from us for a second and everything. They pick his brain.
Well, as long as they're not doing
anal
too many
probe
experiments
time.
On him.
Yeah. They thinking that we can't do the show without Andy, but Andy knows that we could. So Martians, keep him for another 15 minutes. No, I'm just joking.
Keep it real, Bob.
Hey, it went from the Andy and Amanda show to the Cornell and Amanda show. Special guest said.
My battery died.
Oh, no,
he's back.
Your battery died.
I thought that was
what was wrong with my guitar.
I'm calling in remotely to the show, so I'm on my cell phone and I wasn't paying attention. My fault. I'm bad. My fault.
Hey, Andy, we was talking about the Andy and Amanda show.
Uh oh. We're in trouble now. But you know, I was getting angry and suddenly I got hung up on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, no respect.
None. You know, that's three of my life. That's what that, you know. Unbelievable. What was I saying? Do you remember what I was saying? I was telling the story. I remember that.
You were talking about taking your daughter to try to sell her to a college.
Oh, right. And so here's what happens. So you're in that presentation and they talk, and then a parent, you know, they ask questions. And then a parent gets up and asks about Greek life. And I'm like, What is it about the Greek population? Like, you'd think there'd be some other race, some ethnicity that would be more important than the Greek culture on a major university campus. So I let it go, and they addressed it. They talked about how many buildings they have to support Greek life. And I'm like, God, there must be have a Greek, very big Greek population at this particular university. Then we move on to the next college. I think it was UCLA. Parent gets up. Tell us about the Greek life. I'm like, what is going on in every college I go to? Everybody's concerned about the Greeks college. And I'm only, this is fairly recent, folks. This is within the last few years. So I had no idea. It wasn't until much later. And I'm going, let's take this 3 or 4 colleges now. And then I finally asked somebody, I asked another parent. I said, I got a question to ask you. What's that? Every time I go to a college presentation, for a tour, people are always asking about the Greeks. It's have to do with philosophy courses? Does it have to do with what is the issue? And he said, sororities, fraternities. I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it.
Yeah,
but it was so funny because I didn't say a word. I didn't say anything about it because I was, what? I was thinking, what's going on? What? Why is everybody so concerned about the population of people who have a Greek ethnicity at this university? And then the next university, and the university after that.
Who cares about geeks anyway?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, really. But anyway, so that's just how to get that story,
It was a funny story, Andy.
Yes, Andy, right on time.
Thank you. You know, I was hung up on.
That's how I found my bandmates. Two of them were in a fraternity, and I went out on fraternity rush, and we ended up jamming in the basement.
And there you go. The rest is history.
Beginning of the vigilantes.
The rest is history.
And the rest is hysterical.
Let's hear a tune. We're going to hear some another music here, because I know people are chomping at the bits. To hear music.
Listen, this is the way it is.
Jumping on their pacifiers.
They're chopping on something because.
I think what you just said is very important.
Thank you. I like to think it is. I'm right with you on that one. But we're going to play a tune here that I think, if I can find the right tune, it's a tune that I was trying to get to for a long time that Chet put together here that features both of us, and I don't know if it walked away from me or not. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you walked away here, because I know people are just dying to hear it. Do 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 do
do do do do do do
do. Bear with me, folks. I'm a little I'm not real disorganized today, but just a little bit disorganized because
I actually like women much more than I like men.
And with Amanda on the line, it makes me nervous. You know what I'm saying?
The low battery.
And I was looking so much forward to having Amanda come over on January 23rd to do the AVN show.
Andy.
Amanda. I love it when she calls my name that way. I'm just going to.
You got me blushing over here. Got me blushing.
I'm just going to sit and listen to Amanda's talk.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog to cry all the time.
Yeah,
Okay.
So Amanda, anyway, did we ever ask? Yes. Did you ever answer this question?
What is your porn fantasy, man?
Oh my goodness.
I think we've addressed it, but we never really got into the nitty-gritty of it.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't really have one, guys.
You know what's really funny? I don't either. I really don't.
I'm curious.
I don't. Yeah, isn't that weird?
That's comforting, actually, hearing that, because, when you hear everybody else that they have those types of things, and I'm just like, not really.
I had one with this lady right here at one point.
That'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
But she said I wasn't her type.
But then it melted.
Oh, God.
I guess she preferred her broomstick, huh, Andy?
Yeah, you know.
I get so bored I could scream.
Yeah. But when I think about it, I really don't. You know, I've been asked this before, not often, like people just come to me on the street and ask me that question, but I have been asked, and when it comes right down to it, like Amanda, I'm right with you on that because I really don't. Isn't that weird? Like, I don't know.
Well, I used to think I was weird, like being like that, but I don't know. Now, hearing you say it, I kind of feel comfort, so. You know
what I do like,
that,
though? I will tell
what?
I'll tell you what I do like. I'll tell you what I do
on
like.
On top writing.
Yeah, that.
Fair enough.
On a motorcycle.
I was, yeah.
And there goes Chet making a G program out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You guys.
Facing each other.
Oh yeah,
doggy
yeah.
stuff.
Well, you know, let's get to some. We're gonna. Oh, by the way, I forgot to add this special segment, which I think is happening on our Wednesday shows. Amanda, I don't even know if I told Amanda this. Amanda and I have been known. We've had this. We've been known, and we've been asked a lot to advise people on their romantic dating and love life. And I just saw this movie. I wish I knew what the title of it was. When this guy and this girl hosted this radio show, and they got picked up by national syndication. And they weren't experts by any means, but I guess if you're on the air and you're doing this, you're kind of perceived as an expert. So Amanda and I have been asked, and we've kindly obliged to give advice on that subject area on a Wednesday shows. It'll be in the Andy and Amanda Corner, where people will be able to call us at 515-605-9888 and ask us anything about their personal lives, and we will give appropriate advice because we do know all. Yes, we do.
We'll actually tell them their future.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And we'll tell
them to have good sex for the rest of their life.
Yes.
I think anybody would be happy to hear that, right? Although probably...
Especially if they do a lot of practicing alone.
Of course. Yeah.
Yes, especially.
Very important.
You know?
But we want people to know that on Wednesday you'll be able to. We have a special guest coming in actually Wednesday, who's a frequent internet blogger and Facebook poster and so forth, and somebody's been very politically active. Bruce Ginsburg is joining us Wednesday as our special guest on the show, so don't miss that. Mm-hmm. But regarding that, I got to figure out what kind of questions we should ask Bruce, but we'll get to that. On Wednesday we'll also be doing the Andy and Amanda Corner. And some of these questions we'll be getting in advance. So you can call our line or email us at the Andy and Amanda Show at gmail.com and email us your questions regarding your love life, your relationship issues you're having, questions about intimacy, which Amanda and I are very, very, very keen on addressing these questions because, again,
and
we are
very passionate about
intimate knowledge of.
Very knowledgeable, both of us. Yes.
My goodness.
And yeah, and so we'll be doing that on Wednesday, and again you can email us your questions at the Andy and Amanda Show at gmail.com, and we'll do our very best to provide you with the utmost pertinent and accurate information accordingly. Do you like that, Amanda? Did I do that right?
I don't know at this point.
So is that going to be
Wednesday.
Bruce Ginsburg, the real estate agent from Sarasota, Florida? Or the optometrist from North Miami Beach.
Is he attorney from Philadelphia?
No. Who are you talking about?
Bruce, I don't know.
Ginsburg. I'm trying to look him up.
No, you look up this guy. Wait a minute, this guy here? No,
what's going on?
Yeah, somebody on the phone there. I don't know who that is. What?
Are you serious?
Oh, my God.
That's a caller?
trying to find out when the next show is.
He sounds like he's got a fever.
What is he smoking?
He sounds like he's got a bucket in front of him ready to vomit.
COVID. By the way, on November 4th, you won't hear about it anymore. You turn in the news. COVID. We'd like to talk about COVID. It's COVID, no matter what happens. COVID. That's all I hear. Turn on television. COVID. A plane goes down. 500 people dead. They don't talk about it. I guarantee you this. On November 4th, you won't be hearing as much about this. Here's what happens. November 4th, you won't hear too much about it.
We know more about the future than he does. This guy could be a comedian, whoever that guy
yes,
is.
Yes, or preacher.
Yes, yeah. Because, you know, some of what he predicted is became, you know, so true, you know. Yes, thank you. We try to... Thank you very much. Thank you.
Are we clear?
Yes,
I really
we are.
Do not know what crystal ball he uses, but...
Clear!
We used to yell out, you know, it's funny because that's what you yell when you start an airplane engine, you know.
Yeah.
Before you start the prop at a private airport, a little plane. Oh, you know, mm-hmm. You know what's tragic? A plane crashed in Michigan, a family, a guy and his wife and kid crashed into a house. They were all killed in Oakland County, Michigan, January 1st, which is a shame because.
For real?
Yeah, they went to a house. Oh, and goodness. Here's what happened. There's a family in the house, right? The family sitting in the house in the living room. They're literally having an argument about what movie to watch on Netflix in the living room. And they got up and they left the living room and went to another room to turn on the TV. And as soon as they went to the other room, kabam, this plane hit their house and burst in the flames. And the entire house went up in flames. They all got out. But that's where the plane hit in the living room. If they'd waited like another 30 seconds, there would have been a different outcome. Of course,
the
pilot and his family got wiped out.
Oh, my
in the
gosh.
Plane. Yeah, and I hate to hear things like that. I really do.
But it's moments like
that makes me want to lock my doors and close my windows.
Yeah.
That came really close to home for me a long time ago. Cause,
oh, really?
The place where I got my private pilot's license, the guy that owned it actually used me and another pilot as ballast in the rear seats of a Beach Baron. All the way up to Reading and back on a stormy night. And then a few months later, he lost his way in the storm and crashed into a shopping center, which killed three people and him and the guy who owned the plane. So that was, I hate hearing about stuff like that.
Yeah.
I knew the guy. He was great.
I spent about 1,500 plus or minus a few hours as a flight instructor teaching people how to fly airplanes. And I was so, you know, it's just, you know, you let somebody off to solo. I've done that numerous times. You know, you take somebody, conduct to the airport to learn how to fly, and they start with all the basics in about between 16, 18 hours. I mean, as little as 10, but usually 16, 18 hours, you get out of the airplane and you let them go around the pattern and they take off some landings. They come to full stop, taxi around, take off again by themselves. And that, it's that first time, you know, you let somebody go do it on their own. They give you this look. You're getting out of the plane? Yeah, just bring it back in one piece, okay? You know what I'm saying? Bring it back in one piece.
You know what my instructor did? I went around. I took off the airplane, and I went around the pattern. I was coming in on final, and the crash truck was sitting right next to the runway.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
And I did my three touch and goes and then pulled over and he got back in the airplane. And I said, did you call that crash truck over there?
Well, you know. Oh,
that means they can do anything they want.
Yeah.
Wow.
They probably could. Yeah. 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 But, yeah, they have – I like teaching. I really, really enjoy teaching. When I left that profession of teaching to go just get a real job in aviation, my specialty was – what I was specific in doing was preparing flight instructor applicants for that flight instructor check ride so they can become flight instructors. So you're – in this case, you're teaching – pilots who are already instrument and commercial pilots certified. They already have an instrument ratings or commercial pilot license, and now you're teaching them how you teach somebody how you fly an airplane. So I got to be the student in the left seat and
right.
pretend I was a student and do all the things my students used to do. And then some, you know. Like,
did you pop the Cessna into a spin? I did that twice.
To be a flight instructor is part of the training for that certificate, and it's the only FAA certificate that requires this. You have to demonstrate spin entries and recoveries in both directions. So I did that as part of the part of the training. But when I did my spin certification, I was working my flight instructor certificate. I went up in a biplane, like Snoopy and the Red Baron, with a scarf and a leather helmet.
Ah.
And I got I got to the guy sitting in the back, I'm in the front. And it's funny because they give you a parachute to wear, and that made me a little nervous. He said, "Here's your parachute," and you told me what to pull, all that stuff. And I'm sitting in the front, and he said, "Listen, if we have to bail out, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder, and you get out of here. I'm not going to wait for you. If I tap you and say go, you go." And I said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He goes, "What's that?" Since I'm sitting in the front, and if the plane is headed straight down, couldn't I get out and fall into the propeller? He says, "Yeah, you could."
Like, if you want. That's your thing, man. Go ahead.
Wow.
I quickly imagined myself as becoming an egg beater.
Wow.
Yeah.
My gosh.
That's crazy.
Is that not so? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But really speaking of flying, folks, we have coming on the show next week. Next week is our special guest. I think they're going to take over a lot of the show as our guest. And we've talked about them a lot for months, and they've just been busy with their own schedules and doing interviews with CNN and other organizations and taking care of their family and the kids and the holidays and their retirement. Is Joe and Margaret Fahan. The Flying Fahans, look them up on Instagram, look them up on Facebook, especially Instagram. Joe and I go way back. Maybe we'll reveal some of our stories on the air since he's since retired and they can't do anything to him.
Andy, and another guest next Friday, Joe Richmond, the community ambassador of the basketball team Delaware Bluecoats.
That's right. That's right.
He's
a 76ers minor league team coach and a former player of the Harlem Globetrotters. Or coach the Globetrotters, one or the other. I forget. We'll get
he toured with the world famous Globetrotters next Friday.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing.
Friday he'll be on. Yeah. So we have a bunch of...
I saw them in Honolulu in 1958.
I saw them as a kid, and then I took my kids to see them, 15 years ago or so, and they're always entertaining. But here's what happens: every other quarter is a real basketball game between them and the New Jersey Generals, and then the alternate quarters are they're doing the funny stuff. But what I didn't like, and what actually was pretty cheesy, I mean extremely cheesy in my opinion, was they have this mascot named Globy, and they do so many cheesy, stupid little things with the mascot and little games and little things. And I guess they must be attracting little kids. I mean, real little kids. And when I went to see the Globetrotters as a kid, it was a Meadowlark Lemon and all those guys, and just really funny, entertaining. I don't remember how cheesy it was, but I would not. I love the Globetrotters. I wouldn't go see them again. Thumbs down. Watch them on YouTube. Probably just because it got so cheesy. Now this is years ago. Maybe they changed it. But I'm just talking about my personal experience. It doesn't mean that somebody else's experience could be different, but that was my interpretation of the Globetrotters back then. Hey, folks, we're about to wrap up here. I'm glad we got to talk about our upcoming guests and our upcoming shows, the upcoming segments on the show, and it's time to go.
Yes.
Wow. It's going quick, guys.
Turning out the lights.
So, Amanda, again,
yes,
I'll have you sign off. Our show again, as you did so well last time.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so from Andy Kimball in California, from Cornell Butler in Philadelphia, from Chet Gardner in Hawaii, and myself in the UK, stay safe, keep smiling, and try and do your best to get through this new year start, okay? We love you, and thank you so much for listening and tuning in, and we'll catch you on Wednesday's show.
Yes.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye now. Thanks for listening.
Aloha.